You're listening to Public Radio KHSU. We're broadcasting live from Humboldt State University. My name's Katie, and in the studio with me today, I have local author and HSU alumni, Brian Radzin. Good afternoon, and welcome to KHSU.
Well, thank you for having me. I surely appreciate it. As any struggling artist could say, I appreciate the coverage, so thank you.
You're doing a reading tonight at Old Town Coffee and Chocolates.
Yes.
It's coming up at 7 to 8:30.
Yes, it's a great space. I was able to do a reading there last year, and it's just a wonderful area. A lot of people in downtown Eureka, especially on a Friday night, it being Veterans Day and the new book kind of dealing with private armies and militias, I felt like it was pretty apt to do it, to be able to do it on Veterans Day.
So I was reading your book last night, and then I read parts of it this morning. There's bodies, dead bodies, and all sorts of things. And so you and I were talking before we went live. I want you to talk about this series because I'm coming into this series sort of in the middle.
Sure.
Let's back up. What made you decide to write this series? Again, it's called Search for the Truth, Journey into the Abyss of the latest book.
Sure. Well, I just almost as any author would like, a series is almost what you want to do because then you have successive books and ideas that are just waiting in the wings. But what spurned this, this series at least, my degree was in journalism and creative writing here. And so Jason, who's my main character, he's a small town reporter, breaks a big story, gets a big job in New York and starts uncovering all kinds of conspiracies. They take down a corrupt congressman and then it just kind of snowballs from there.
Is this at the beginning of the series?
Yes, because that's in the first book.
It's not the congressman that's behind him in this first couple of chapters, is it?
It kind of is.
Oh, no.
And you find that out. He's one of those that's almost their arch nemesis that kind of follows them throughout the book. They can't end him. They can't kill him. He just always shows up to kind of throw a monkey wrench in their business.
Okay.
So it almost like that, you know, that sore that never goes away. But, you know, you always have to end up doing something about it in the end. So
it's Jason, and is it Christina that also follows with him through this series?
Yes. Okay. Now, Christina is, you know, I'd call him his love interest, but that almost takes away from the importance. Just the almost the perfect woman for him, someone who's he's always been looking for. In the first novel, they kind of get split up, and then they meet back up. And so then once they find themselves back together again, they realize that they don't want to be apart, and they both have the kind of the want to search for truth and for, you know, what's real and what's right. And because it's basically, I would say, following synchronicities by basically putting yourself in the right place at the right time without knowing it and doing the right thing because it's the right thing. And trying to be, you know, trying to unite us because there's a lot more we can disagree on than we don't. And part of it is part of the way I write the books are, you know, kind of a little more lighthearted, but I talk about some heavier issues, but there's some humor in them. I think a lot of people can relate to it. I mean, I'm probably on the liberal end of politics, as one would probably say, but I've had some admittedly conservative people like what I have to say and like my writing because they see what I'm trying to do. They see how I'm just trying to make all the, you know, the bull kind of flow away and bring us together.
Well, okay, so Christina and Jason, at the beginning of the series, mm-hmm. he uncovers some things.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm reading in the middle again of this series.
Yes.
So anybody who picks up the novel needs to know that there's more before.
Sure. Now I tried to write them in such a way that someone could pick this book up. Mm-hmm. And yes, there would be some stuff connecting to the early ones, but they could also read this and just enjoy it as its own kind of book.
Uh-huh.
The first one, they take down this congressman. They uncover a scheme dealing with illegal immigration and insider trading. At the end, they end up kind of finding themselves on the run and follow this mysterious postcard to Cuba.
That's kind of exciting. It's a little adventure.
Yes. And what was interesting was when I wrote the first book, it had to deal with immigration. And then like 6 months later, all the unaccompanied minors started coming up from Central and South America. And so that was interesting. And then the second book is about desalination and water in Cuba. And then 6 months later, the embassy opened. And not trying to say that I could see the future.
Well,
but,
I don't know.
It's kind of interesting. So when it comes out, which is also interesting because in this book, I write about a presidential candidate that's running because the organization that they're kind of chasing, this conspiracy, quasi-global government organization that's trying to take over the world one resource at a time, they're trying to get another friendly back into the White House, and I have this candidate running who will basically do or say anything, almost modeled after Trump.
Brian, are you like foreseeing the future? This is a little almost disturbing.
It can be, but in a way it's just, and maybe it just comes from the way I write. I write such stream of consciousness that it just, I don't edit myself. I don't stop myself. I don't care how badly words are misspelled or punctuation because I can always go back and fix it later. And so wherever that creative energy comes from, I'm not really sure, but I just, it's a way for me to put my voice out there, and I hope that, you know, people can pick up on it and can relate to some of the things I'm talking about. And just, you know, when in the end,
yes,
you know, in the end, there's, you know, I said before, there's a lot more we can agree on than we don't. There's like 90% of things that we can probably agree on. And so I'm just trying to start the conversation from there, because once we're used to talking to each other like humans again, maybe we'll have a chance at some of those generationally embedded issues that we can't seem to get past and seem to have re-slapped us in the face recently.
That's right. History likes to repeat itself,
yes,
doesn't it?
Definitely.
Now, this is the third in a series of... Now, how many more are you writing?
It's going to be a series of seven. I'm currently writing the fourth one, which I don't know what title yet, but that always comes at the end. That one's going to be dealing with the healthcare industry and socially engineering people, because I'm going to have the whole kind of society breakdown. And then the next book is going to be about education, because you got to re-educate people. And then the sixth book is going to be about politics and rebuilding a political system. And the last one, just kind of wrapping it up, showing people how good and how great everything can be, but how also it can revert back immediately with a choice.
So is the political climate that we're going into going to influence your writing style?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, because I pull a lot of research just from what I see, what I pay attention to, books I read, little magazine articles, news clips. You kind of got to have to pick and choose. I mean, it's a great idea to not believe everything that anybody says. So you kind of pick and choose and pick through the crap for that one little kernel of truth. And pardon my French there, but it's great. I just feel this intense energy and passion, and it feels really great to just share my voice with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And so you said that you're working on your fourth book. Mm-hmm. So that must take a lot of energy and time, especially in your mind. How do you do the process? We only have like a minute left.
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, I'll sit down. I don't edit myself. I don't stop myself. Mm-hmm. It's stream of consciousness. I take everything that's in my head and I totally just let it flow. And I just want people to know that they can write. A lot of people can put down their thoughts and feelings, and they just got to almost get out of their own way. And that's ultimately what I did. It was my goal when I turned 30 to put out my first book and do a book a year after that. Just turned 35, hit book number 6, and I'm ready to keep going.
So you're talking tonight. Give our listeners the details.
Sure. My reading is tonight at Old Town Coffee and Chocolates in Eureka, 7 to about 8:30. I'll read a few sections, and there'll be some discussion afterwards, and usually lasts about an hour and a half, and it's great. I'll have books for purchase sale there. People can also visit my website, brianradzin.com, my Facebook page, they can also purchase my book at lulu.com, a great independent bookseller that I found that's just been wonderful, how they try to leave more of the money in the hands of the creators. So it's really kind of taken that next step. So I'm very, very thankful for all the opportunities people have given me, and I'm just hope people like it. Hope people give me a chance.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in, and I
of
can't
course.
Wait to continue reading.
Definitely.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.